Good morning, View Church, Table View. So good to be with you guys on this frosty morning. Winter is here. I saw something really funny on Facebook. They said, whoever peed off Elsa, please apologize. And all the parents will understand and appreciate that joke. But we're going to get right into it this morning, right into the message. I'm going to open up in prayer. Father God, we love you so much, and we just thank you that you have a word for your church this morning, God. I thank you that your word never returns void, but it does what you've set it out to do. So Holy Spirit, we just pray that you speak this morning, Lord, that I get out of the way, that you use me as a vessel, and that you speak to every one of our hearts. And I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Have your way in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Awesome. So we're going to be looking, we're going to be diving quite deep this morning into John chapter 15, quite a famous piece of scripture, but we're going to dive a bit deeper this morning. I'm going to start reading from verse 1. It should come up on the screen. It says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. And neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Now, we're ending off our Under Pressure series, and we've been saying, yes, in 2021, we're under a lot of pressure, and things have been crazy, but we've said when the pressure gets turned on, we don't sit back. What do? We get up, and we fight back. Amen? And we've been looking at different ways that we can fight back, and I believe that John 15 has some amazing pointers for us and how we effectively fight back. It talks about us bearing fruit, okay? Bearing fruit is powerful, and the only way we bear fruit is by abiding in Jesus. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. In preparation for this sermon, I had to do quite a bit of reading and research because I am not much of a gardener, okay? I do not have green fingers, and neither is my hubby. I must say, in recent years, he's gotten a lot better. But sheesh, for the first 10 years of our marriage, I kid you not, we had about 9 square meters of grass. It might have even been 8 square meters of grass in our previous house. And I kid you not, we went through 3 sets of roller lawn, killing all 3 sets before we realized we are fake grass kind of people. And so then we got the fake grass, and we made sure that our plants were cacti. Because the thing with cacti is they flourish when you just stay away, right? So we realized we are fake grass, cacti kind of people, and that was good. And then we moved, and we put some fake grass in our new house. But I must say, Andre's learned some tricks, and he's actually built a little hedge for us now, which is very cool. And he's doing better, but I'll be honest, I still struggle. And the only plants that flourish in my house are my fake plants. That is the truth, unfortunately. But I did research for this sermon for you guys because I wanted to really understand what is John 15 trying to say to us. It's using all these analogies of plants, and I got some amazing teaching sermons and some awesome info about plants. And so I feel like I'm ready to dig deep with you guys. Is that good? Come on, I want you guys to interact with me in the sermon. If you agree, say amen. If you don't, you can boo me, whatever. But let's interact and have some fun together online. So This piece of scripture, John chapter 15, it starts off with, I am the true vine. And this is Jesus speaking. What does he mean here? Why is he telling us that he is the true vine? Well, basically, he's saying to us, guys, there actually are lots of vines, okay? There are lots of different things that you can graft your life into, that you can pour yourself out into, that you can think will give you meaning and purpose. But he's saying, but actually, I am the true vine. I'm the one you should be grafting yourself into. I'm the one who's going to give you real purpose, real meaning. Not your company, not your title, not your bank balance, not your children or your relationship status. He's saying, it's me. I am the true vine. I, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the one you need to be focusing on. Amen? Can I get an amen? He then goes on to say, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that's in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Okay. Now, when I first read this, I'll be honest, I was like, well, what is a vine dresser? Sounds very sophisticated for a vine to have a personal shopper slash dresser. That was the first thing that pops into my head. It's a bad joke. I've been married to Andre for too long, but that did pop into my head. But that's not what it is, okay? I've really dumbed down the definition for people like me who don't really know a lot about agriculture and gardening, and this is what a vine dresser does. It has one main goal, and that is to see every branch produce lots of grapes. The vine dresser takes away, or more accurately, takes up the vines that are lying on the ground and retrains them around the trellis to preserve their health and their fruitfulness. Pretty much the vine dresser is all about making sure that the branches produce maximum fruit. Does that make sense? And Jesus is saying that this is his Father's job. God's job is to make sure that we produce maximum fruit. Now, if we look at this piece of scripture, I think we could all agree that there are possibilities, okay? You and I can either be people who produce no fruit, or we can be people that produce some fruit, or we can be people who produce lots of fruit, right? We have options. We can fall into different categories. But it also says that if there is no fruit, you will be taken away, okay? It says God will remove the branch. We read that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, I want us just to reflect for a moment. I want you to ask yourself, just take a moment and ask yourself, what am I sowing my time and my talent and my treasure into, and is it producing any fruit? You might say, okay, well, what exactly do you mean by fruit? I'm saying, are good things coming out of it? Things that are blessing God's kingdom, okay? Fruit can be defined as things that are blessing God's kingdom, that are expanding heaven, that is actually adding value to eternity. So maybe take your business as an example. If you're sowing your life into your business, is your business blessing God's kingdom financially? Is it opening up doors for God's kingdom to grow, for new churches to be planted? I actually know that we have some amazing kingdom builders in this church, and that's exactly what their businesses are doing. They are building eternity. Maybe you've got this talent of this amazing voice. Ask yourself, is my talent being used to bless God's house? Or are you just trying to use your voice to become famous on YouTube? And I talk about the voice a lot because I think it's such a good example. And the example that I always think of is the Brooke Fraser story. And if you're saying to me, well, Leanne, who is Brooke Fraser? I would say, are you living under a rock? No, I wouldn't say that because that would be mean. But I would say you know who Brooke Fraser is. I'll just play you one of her songs and you'll go, oh, I know that song. I know that singer. She's an amazing Christian worship leader, songwriter, a worship pastor. But her story is remarkable. She was born in New Zealand and she grew up there. And she was becoming quite famous in the secular world of singing. And then her record label moved her to Sydney. And she was a Christian girl, so she started to go to Hillsong in Australia. And after she'd been going for a while, they said, well, listen, you need to start serving. And she said, I'm keen to serve. I'm humble. She said, I will pack out chairs. I will make coffee. I will do whatever you want. And they said, well, Brooke, we'd really love you on the worship team. I mean, God's given you an amazing voice. And she said, oh, yeah, you know, listen, I am willing to serve. I'm all for the kingdom. She said, but my voice is my job. It's my moneymaker. It's my breadwinner, you know, and I need to protect my voice for my work. And so I'm not going to sing on a Sunday, but I will make coffee. I will pack chairs. I will clean. I will do anything. And they challenged her and they said, you know what, Brooke? We don't think God gave you that voice just so that you can become famous. We believe God gave you that voice so you can glorify Jesus with it, so that you can impact eternity with it. And we think you should be serving with your voice. They said, go pray about it. So she said, cool, I will. And she came back and she said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me clearly and I need to join the worship team. And the rest, as they say, is history, because she then went into full-time ministry. She stopped doing secular music. She was writing so many anointed worship songs. And you know, I think about 3 years ago, she won a Grammy for co-writing the best contemporary worship song. To win a Grammy. But what's more impressive to me is when you hear this woman lead worship, there is an anointing on her, an authority on her, where you know that what she is singing is changing lives. It is shaking heaven. There is a power behind her. And I know, I have no doubt, it comes from the fact that she said, God, I'm giving you my best. I'm bringing my best into your house. God, you are my number one. You get everything. Amen. And God honors that. What a beautiful picture of a woman who decided to graft herself into the correct vine, into Jesus, and to use her talents to make Jesus famous. And guys, remember this. I say this to you a lot, but there is only one person who was ever created to be famous, and that's Jesus. And in 2021, everyone wants to be famous, but it will destroy you. We were created to make Jesus famous, not to be famous. And when I look at Brooke, she's a beautiful picture of someone being grafted into the true vine and bearing so much fruit. What does that look like for Andre and I and for church leaders? Well, if we have a ministry and we're putting resources and money into it, we have to stop and go, is this ministry bearing fruit? Are people getting saved? Is heaven being populated because of this ministry? Because if it isn't, well, then we can't just let it run. The Bible says cut it off. If there's no fruit, close it down, cut it off. And it can seem harsh, but that's what the Bible says. Fruit is a sign of health. No healthy thing, no healthy tree is not going to grow apples. No healthy apple tree. Are you with me? So if something is healthy, there has to be fruit. Another interpretation of the verse that we just read, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away or cuts off. There's another interpretation where it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. This is a lot less brutal, right? To be lifted up. And to me, it's actually a really beautiful picture because, you know, you can have a branch lying on the ground and it's like God comes and lifts it up. And you almost get this picture of a Christian going through something really tough. And God saying, I'm going to lift you up out of the mud. I'm going to lift you up out of the dirt. I'm going to lift you up out of a relationship that's going to wreck you. And I'm going to put you on some solid ground. I'm going to take you
away from unhealthy mindsets, and I'm going to show you what is true. I'm going to change you and make you stronger. Amen? In my research, I read about tomato trees, and they said tomato bushes, when you grow them, they say you've got to pick them up off the ground and tie them up, because if they're on the ground, they are vulnerable. There are fungi and worms and all these horrible things on the ground. And to protect them, you've got to lift them up. And God's saying, I want to lift you up and make you stronger, make you fruitful. Just abide in me. You can't bear fruit unless you abide in me. Now, this can be confusing. What does it mean? We're going to break it down. What does it mean to abide? Is it to follow a list of rules? To follow the Ten Commandments? No, that's Old Testament. We're living in the New Testament times. Thank goodness. Jesus has gone to the cross. He has paid the price. We are saved by grace. Amen? Thank goodness for grace. So then what is abiding? Is it waking up in the morning and being aware of the Holy Spirit? Is it waking up and feeling convicted when you mess up? Is it waking up every day and actually acknowledging the Holy Spirit, saying, good morning, Holy Spirit? I actually want to tell you guys that abiding is not that. Okay, there's more to it. That's being in Christ, but it's not necessarily abiding. See, we can be in Christ and still not bear fruit. I want you to think about this. We can be in Christ, aware of his presence, but not bear fruit because we're not abiding. See, having an encounter on a Sunday and once or twice, maybe three times during the week, that doesn't equal abiding. You might be going, what are you talking about, Leanne? Just stick with me. Okay. I am redoing grade 1 and 3 at the moment. I have the privilege of redoing these grades because I have a daughter in grade 1 and a daughter in grade 3. And Juliana and I, my elder daughter, we love learning through association. It's just this thing we have. And so, we were doing our Afrikaans. We were learning our Afrikaans. And like I said, I am learning so much because I'm telling you, the standard has gone way up since I was in school. And so literally I'm learning with my child. And we were getting tired. It had been a long afternoon. And Juliana said, we're trying to learn that a sleeve is a mo. Okay. So for all the very English people like me, I had no idea that a sleeve was a mo. But Juliana and I will never forget this now because she said, Mommy, how am I going to learn this? This is a tough one. How am I going to learn mo? Do the whole association things. I said, okay. I said, right. Juliana. Now, we always talk really loud to each other. She said, yes. And this is how we remember. I said, Juliana, when you mow the lawn, even though we only have fake grass and no one in our family has ever mowed the lawn, I said, when you mow the lawn, it's tough work, so you roll up your sleeves. And her eyes lit up. She said, I got it. Mommy, I said, yes, Juliana. She said, when I mow the lawn, I roll up my sleeves. And I think that neither one of us will ever forget that a mo is a sleeve. So we love this learning by association. But that was just a side note. What I really wanted to tell you guys is that I learned now for the end of term two, I learned that in English, or I relearned that in English, a verb is a doing word. It's an action word. A noun is a descriptive word, but, sorry, I'm talking absolute rubbish. An adjective is a descriptive word. Good Lord, I got the English prize in my trick, just before you judge me. Okay, that was prideful, but I do love English. So an adjective is a descriptive word, describing word, and a verb is a doing word. Oh, I'm going so off track here. Are you guys with me? A verb is a doing word. Write that in the comment box. A verb is a doing word. It's an action word. I want to tell you this morning that abiding is a verb. It's an action word.
It's not an encounter. It's not an experience. Abiding is made up of healthy habits that I do every day when I don't feel like it, when I'm tired, when I'd rather stay in bed. If I'm going to abide, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do. Amen? And that's going to cause a fruitfulness that I have never seen before in my life. It's the habits that I automatically do no matter what season in my life I am going through. And the result is fruit. Now we have a choice. We don't have to abide, okay? We don't have to abide. But the Bible says if we don't abide, we will be cut off and we will wither, right? I have seen this happen in people's lives, in Christians. They stop abiding. They stop carrying out the habits every day. They get cut off from the presence of Jesus and they end up withering. Okay, they become small people, small-minded, with small hearts. They are not generous. They're the opposite of generous. They have a small attitude. They moan about everything. They are easily offended. And they absolutely love to gossip. Okay? The scary thing about these people is that verse says that as they get cut off, they will wither, and then together, it says together they will be put into the fire and they will burn. And it's like these small people find each other and they moan together, and it's just this group of angry, withered people. Have you ever seen anything like that? Don't write anything in the comment box. If you have, you'll get yourself in trouble. But people who abide in Jesus, they are the opposite. They remain big. They are generous. They are expansive. And they keep going. They keep building the kingdom. They have their eyes on the prize. They are generous in every part of their lives. It's hard to offend them. They are gracious. They are quick to forgive. I want to be more like that. Come on, church. I want to abide in Jesus. I want to be a big person. So how do we do it practically? I've got some points quickly. Firstly, we speak the word of God. It is so powerful. We read in John chapter 15 that the Bible protects and cleanses. It says we are cleansed by his word. We need to speak it continually. Like we said, abide is a verb. It's a doing word. You know, in the toughest seasons of my life, what has always got me through, I know, is the power of speaking God's word over my life. Even now, I'm in such a busy, challenging season. It's not a bad season, but it's a busy season, and I am speaking God's word over my life like never before. Leanne, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror. Leanne, you will not throw away your confidence and it will be richly rewarded. And my confidence is in Jesus. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus. And because of Jesus, I am chosen. I am loved. I am called. He is holding me by the right hand. How does our God run the universe? Well, he creates it with his words. He spoke the world into being. He creates his world with words, and then he sustains his world with words. There's so much power in what we speak. We need to keep speaking the word of God over our lives, over our marriages, over our children, over our country. Come on, church. There is power in what we speak. There's the power of life or death. Come on, we need to speak the word of God. Let the weak say, I am strong, I'm highly favored. Come on, our God can make something out of nothing when we choose to speak his powerful word. Secondly, we pray. You might say to me, well, Leanne, I don't know how to pray. I've got good news for you. Jesus has your back. Because in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13, he gives us a recipe of how to pray the perfect prayer. The disciples actually say to him, Jesus, teach us how to pray.
And he says, pray like this. And it's the Lord's Prayer. It's a famous prayer. It says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, the first thing we need to notice is that we are called to start our day in prayer. And all the early bird, early wakers are saying, amen, amen, amen. Now, listen, yeah, I'm a night owl. I like to go to bed late, and I would sleep late if I could. But I have learned that I need to start my day in God's presence more than anything. So even though I'd rather stay in bed, I start my day in prayer. And you're saying, how do you get that from the Lord's Prayer? Well, it says, give us this day. You're not going to pray at midnight, give us this day, or at 10 o'clock, give us this day. You're going to pray as the day starts. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen? Why do we need to start our day in prayer? Because our God is a God of first. If he's not first, he's nowhere. He wants to be first in your life. And remember that prayer activates the will of God for our lives. Also want you guys to remember this. The disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? But they spent every moment of every day with Jesus. They saw him raise the dead to life. They saw him perform miracle after miracle. And they knew that the recipe to the power over Jesus' life was his prayer life. Because they saw him dedicated to prayer daily. He would pray and fast for 40 days, 41 days. I mean, he was a man of prayer, and they knew it was the secret to his power. And so they said, how do we pray? Prayer equals power. I want you to write that in the comment box. Prayer equals power, not programs or meetings or curriculum. Prayer changes lives and cities. You just need to look at all the heroes in the Bible. Look at Esther. We're going to be doing a 3-day Esther fast. I encourage you guys to join us. But before she encountered the king, she prayed and fasted for 3 days, and she saved a nation. I love the story of Jacob. He wrestled with God in the spiritual realm. And then there's Daniel in the lion's den. He found himself in the lion's den because he refused to stop praying to our God. He knew how powerful prayer was. The heroes of the Bible, the heroes of our faith, are people of prayer. Number three, we need to get into a community. If we look at the Lord's Prayer again, it says, and remember, this is the perfect way to pray. It says the perfect way to pray is together. It says, Our Father in heaven. Our Father, that indicates corporate prayer, right? Because remember, church, there is unity when we pray together. The Bible says where there's unity, God commands a blessing. Unity is the basis for our authority in God. You want some authority when you pray? Get into unity. Get a community. That's why we go on and on about view groups, because we know you are going to reach your destiny when you get out of a row and into a circle. I know this. I've lived through it. I've had the privilege of being in this church for over 30 years, and I've been in so many different view groups. I have been just an attendee. I've been a host. I've been a co-leader. I have been encouraged in a view group. I've made my best friends in a view group. I have been challenged and rebuked in a view group. And the Bible says that a rebuke from a friend is better than a kiss from an enemy. Come on, amen. It's not always pleasant, but it's needed sometimes. I have had my gifts pulled out of me in a view group. I've had my destiny spoken over me in a view group. I've had my back covered in prayer in a view group. I've had people walk with me through the biggest trials in my life through a view group. And I know that you need a view group. We all do. We need a tribe. Don't do life alone. If you want to abide, you need to get into a circle. And number four, this is one of my favorites. It's fix your eyes on heaven. In the Lord's Prayer, It starts off, our Father in heaven. Every time we pray, we look up to heaven and we address our Father in heaven, and we're reminded that we are living for heaven. We're not living for an earthly encounter. We are living for eternity. Come on, church. Our time on this earth is a brief little blip on the page compared to eternity. And we get one shot at this life. Make sure that you are living for the right things, because you can't take your house to heaven. You can't take your car. You can't take your titles. The only thing you can take with you to heaven is souls. So let's look up to heaven and be reminded every day what our mission is. Whatever occupation you're in, whatever stage of life you're in, your real mission is to take people to heaven, to populate heaven. Can I get an amen? And number five is forgiveness. We need to accept forgiveness. And you know, I wrote this as my last point, but it actually should be the first point, because you cannot abide in Jesus if you haven't accepted his forgiveness. And the only way you can accept his forgiveness is actually to ask him to be Lord of your life and to repent of your sins. Acknowledge you're a sinner, and that you need a Savior, and that he died on the cross for you, and ask him to be Lord of your life again. I say again, because I just had the thought, there's people listening who you were in a relationship with God, but you've fallen away. He's saying, come back. I want you, I love you. I wanna lift you up out of the mud. I've got a destiny and a plan for you. I love you. You were made on purpose for a purpose. Don't float through this life. If you are listening this morning and you need to accept forgiveness, remember, you can only accept it when you ask for it. If you want to give your life to Jesus and ask for forgiveness so you can accept forgiveness, so that you can get to know Jesus and abide in him and live a victorious life, then I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for paying the price for my sins. Today, I ask for forgiveness. I thank you that you've already died on the cross for every sin I committed. And I accept your forgiveness. And I ask you to be Lord of my life. And forevermore, I will follow you and love you and abide in you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, you need to know that the whole of heaven is having a party. You gave the whole of heaven, all the angels, all the grannies and grandpas up there, you gave them a reason to party. And for the rest of us, I really hope this message encourages you. We can abide in him with healthy habits, and we can bear lots of fruit. We can populate heaven. Come on, in every season, we are on a mission. Amen. We love you guys. Remember, this is the Double Dip Sunday. Dino Ciccatello is going to be on tonight. You don't want to miss it. And we will be in touch once we've heard from our presidents. I'm going to hand over to Andre.
Awesome. If you enjoyed that, why don't you tell us on Facebook, YouTube, or Church Online. Of course, even for our WhatsApp family, you'll be listening to the service in the next service. Why don't you message us on WhatsApp? Tell us what stood out to you, which point. I love that last point, how if you accept forgiveness, you really are starting a brand new season in your life as you accept the forgiveness of Jesus. But what's amazing is, as you forgive others, you also start a brand new season. But in our unforgiveness, we keep our past attached to us. But in the forgiveness we receive from Jesus and that we let flow through us as we forgive others, we start a brand new chapter. And if you have done that, you came back to Jesus for the first time you did it, why don't you tell us, why don't you direct message us or WhatsApp us? We'd love to help you on this journey, even just pray for you. And the best thing you can do is tell somebody that you made the decision. And then we encourage everyone to take the growth track step, and you'll hear more about it. I encourage you to join us tonight. Dino Ciccatello is going to be preaching. It's going to be amazing. So it's a Double Dip Sunday. But why don't you jump on a bit earlier in the lounge? That'll be about 20 minutes to 6. We're going to have lots of fun tonight. Can't wait to see you. Have a blessed day.